recorded live.
All right. Now I started the recording. I'm sorry, I'm new at this. I've never hosted one of these talk shows thing before. I used to host a lot of shows on Skype, but never.
Stopped recording conversation.
Never one of these things before. Anyway, I am your host, Enemy Combatant. Welcome to the Crotch Chat Radio Show. I am subbing in for Louis B. And we are going to discuss a lot of things today. Please tell your friends to call in the show, 724-444-7444. Call ID 23980 and the pound sign. And then when you hear 1 and pound to pin in. And then when you hear unmuted, you will join the call automatically. Yes, please call in the show, and I will unmute you. And we're going to discuss three main topics today. I'm going to use these newspapers I have right next to me as a guide. Local Metro, which is an international newspaper published in many different languages around the world. And also the Epoch Times, which is a local East Coast newspaper here in the United States. And first I'll be talking about some local issues here in America. Then we'll expand the conversation out to international events, what's been going on. You know, I'm sure people want to talk about Gaza. There's a lot of activists out there who focus only on one issue. And while that can be good and effective in certain appropriate periods of time, we need to expand our view to the big picture and realize that it's not just here in America that we're suffering. It's all over the world. All right, so, John, Luke, if you want to call in the show, once again, that number is 724-444-7444. It's at the bottom of your screen there, and I will unmute you. All right, you are unmuted. Are you there?
Yes, so I'm here. This is John Lucas C. I have a YouTube channel. I'm not sure if you have a YouTube channel. I think it's Firstborn Psycho, and they told me to come on the show and talk about the Fed since I know a lot about that subject.
All right, where are you calling from?
I am calling from Connecticut.
All right, welcome to the show. I'm calling from New Jersey, the great city of Jersey City. I witnessed 9/11 firsthand, got a front row seat right here. This is the center of the criminal empire known as the New World Order, the Anglo-American empire that is, it all goes back to Britain if you really study this New World Order. But we won't get into that too much just yet. But yeah, the Federal Reserve, definitely something I want to cover. The title of the episode is the USSA, United Socialist States of America, the MIC, Military-Industrial Complex, and the NWO, the New World Order. So how do these three pieces of the puzzle fit together to form this bigger picture that I was talking about? Well, before we get into the Fed, which is a critical issue at this time, Barack Obama, of course, says he doesn't think it's good policy to question the Federal Reserve. We played you that clip last episode if you're a follower of the show. And we also played the clip from Jim Lehrer NewsHour where Alan Greenspan says that the Federal Reserve is above the law, above Congress and the president, and so therefore they could do whatever they want, basically admitting now to you. In such pieces as CNBC, recently an economist, I had never heard of him until I saw him, named Raymond James was on CNBC where he explicitly said, the Illuminati caused the banking crisis, okay? And I sent this to my former politics professor at the university, U.S. politics, and he said, don't send me this stuff, it's cluttering up my inbox, you know, I don't believe in conspiracy theories, you're ridiculous. So it's the academic arrogance that's a byproduct of this New World Order that we can already see. You know, classical doublethink. There it is admitted to you right in plain view. And then when you show it to someone, they just deny that it exists.
Well, I am in general a skeptic skeptic of conspiracy theories. However, I do see truth in them. I'm not to the opposite fringe where I think everything is completely not true. There are people who think everything is not true no matter what, and there are people who will believe in every single conspiracy claim no matter what. I consider myself in the middle. I'll look at every individual claim and use my judgment based on the information I have of what is true and what is not. Now, about the Fed, I mean, there clearly were special interests who were involved in the creating of that system, and it's pretty clear if the bankers wrote that bill, they were clearly doing it not because they cared about the country. They were doing it because they wanted something in for themselves, and the system we have is terribly flawed, but the thing is, it's not so flawed for the longest time where there was an outcry to get it removed. It's almost like if you have some kind of a growth on your leg, but it's really not that bad, you may say to yourself, well, it's really not that bad. I'll deal with it later, and so on, and then it'll eventually kill you. And that's what I think is with the Fed. Is it's been flawed system for so long, the economy has done well in spite of the system. But now you're starting to see, you know, it's like payment time now. And now we need to pay the piper for that system. And hopefully people are starting to wake up and criticize that system. The only question is, are we going to go towards some kind of a global system, or are we going to go towards a system that we actually want?
All right, check this out. This is on the second page of the Metro International free newspaper published in many languages across the world. Glad to have you on the line, by the way.
Thank you.
Middle class drops. Think tank says cost of living flat pay behind growing flight from New York City. Last August, Jeff Gordon left his cramped shared apartment on the Upper East Side and joined what a Manhattan think tank sees as a growing exodus of educated middle-class folk fleeing the city's high cost of living and stagnant wages. Gordon, 27, and his fiancée are in Philadelphia. They have a backyard and cheaper rent. A report by the Center for an Urban Future found 150,441 people skipped town in 2006 and headed to places like Philadelphia, Charlotte, Atlanta, which welcomed double and triple the number of New Yorker transplants since 2000. The city's middle class is getting squeezed by an accumulation of high costs like milk prices that rank fifth in the country and taxes 50% higher than most other cities. Rents at a citywide average of $2,800 last year are 53% higher than the nearest competition, San Francisco. Some people may leave, said Mayor Bloomberg on Thursday, but more middle class people are coming and bringing new vision and new entrepreneurship. He added that current job losses are worrisome. The center's report warned that of the 10 occupations expected to do the most hiring in the next 5 years, only two offer yearly salaries greater than $28,000 a year. As for Gordon, a finance worker, despite the rents, he misses New York. It sounds snotty, but everyone in Manhattan has such interesting backgrounds. In Philadelphia, it's the exception, not the rule. And that is by Amy Zimmer for Metro. And just a little follow-up with that report about the middle class being eradicated, which we've been telling you about forever. Lou Dobbs has been talking about it. He wrote a book about it, Death of the Middle Class. Feds weatherized. This is a news and brief from the Associated Press. Senator Chuck Schumer, New Jersey senator, says the economic stimulus package that he expects Congress to pass soon contains another $234 million for New Yorkers to help seal, insulate, and heat homes. With the Senate considering amendments Thursday, Schumer says he hopes to double the amount. So, why is that important? Because it stands in stark contrast to who really needs a bailout. You know who really needs a bailout? The 9/11 first responders. There's a bill in Congress right now going around calling for the reopening of the World Trade Center Workers' Compensation Fund. And that's because a lot of people still, to this day, are getting denied Red Cross, Red Shield, Blue Cross, Blue Shield, federal aid to, you know, basically make up for the fact that they selflessly ran in there. You know, why is it called Ground Zeroes? Because there's nothing left. So there were no survivors. But being humans, being naive and patriotic, these people ran in there to save people, to uncover who was left in a pile. And they're dying, 50,000 of them, plus coughing up blood, taking 20 different kinds of medications. So the 9/11 first responders, average Americans, New Yorkers and New Jerseyans, who got together and they rallied to the cause, they're getting nothing, while all these big banks are getting bailout after bailout, and it's a big revolving door in Washington, D.C.
Well, the first thing I should mention right off the bat is that I am not a 9/11 truther. However, I do support them getting the funding that they need. What happened right after 9/11 was a lot of these charities got a lot of money because people wanted to give to the victims. And what happened is a lot of these charities held onto that money, and they refused to give out all of the money donated to them for 9/11 to the victims and their families. And that was extremely wrong what they did. As I said, I do not believe it was an inside job. I do believe the government was incompetent, and it is all that it happened. I do not believe that they actually had active participation in the attacks.
All right. Well, to remedy that slightly naivete that you have on this subject, I can tell you very accurately and confidently that it was an inside job. A, having witnessed the attacks firsthand, not on television, and B, being involved as a 9/11 truther for the short amount of time span that I have, I've already encountered very, very dangerous territory that no one should ever have to go. And, you know, people are being targeted. There are lives at stake. It's not a joke. It's not a game. There are certainly people who are crazy who believe that it was an inside job and believe in all sorts of other things that people might not necessarily see as normal or on the fringe. But as for 9/11, you're talking about the government participation. What needs to be clarified is the fact that the government is not the one who planned the attacks. The government is the one who executed the attacks, but that is not to say that it was the government that carried it out, that planned it, rather. All right? The government was taken over on 9/11. It's what's known in history as a coup d'etat, or in Spanish, a pronunciamento, or a golpe de estado, a coup d'etat. When you have a seizure, a hostile takeover, sometimes they're bloodless. In the case of 9/11, it was a bloody coup, a hostile military takeover. That is what we witnessed on 9/11. Now, there's a lot of disinformation out there that we witnessed on the A&E channel most recently. We played you the clip last episode where they try to say that all 9/11 truthers are potheads and they live in log cabins in the middle of the woods, and we also believe that no airplanes hit the building, that that it was a hologram and a missile actually hit the airplane, and the media covered it all up. Well, this is what they're portraying on the mainstream networks in these drama shows that they're putting out. And that is complete straw man argument. We're not saying any of these things, just like I'm not saying right here on this show that a missile hit the Pentagon. I don't know that. What I do know is that we haven't been given an accurate account of what happened there. But what happened in downtown Manhattan is undeniable, my friend. There were explosives, okay? I have spoken to and I am currently friends with many 9/11 survivors, including William Rodriguez, who many of these truthers like to, you know, dangle in front of non-believers quite offensively, actually. You know, it's not nice to just do that, but these people actually believe what we believe in. They're the ones starting it. I'm on the sidelines, as a matter of fact, supporting what many victims themselves and survivors are saying. So it's not that I have some sort of theory and then I try to pick things out to fit that theory. I'm actually taking a composite image based on real-world accounts, my own experience, and also research and extensive reading and into the subject. And I don't just mean watching videos. I mean actually reading into the subject. It's undeniable, my friend, that it was an inside job. We have multiple governments confirming this, most recently on CNN, on mainstream media. The former head of the Pakistani CIA, which is called the Inter-Service Intelligence, ISI, Hamid Ghul, was on Fareed Zakaria's show on CNN, where he openly said that 9/11 is clearly an inside job. An attack of this magnitude requires inside help from the state apparatus. Now, it doesn't mean that, you know, your local cousin who's FBI was involved. Does it mean, you know, that your brother who's a cop was involved? No. Because there have been hit pieces put out by BBC and others saying that, you know, we think the firefighters and policemen are part of a conspiracy. No, the firefighters and policemen, many of them can attest to explosive secondary explosions, heavy-duty explosions, not only in the towers but below the towers. And you can even go to many of these websites, you know, besides Patriots Question 9/11, which is a good one, which features a plethora of Army and intelligence officials basically saying this. But you have firefightersfor911truth.org. You have police for 9/11 Truth. I know a 14-year homicide detective here in Jersey City who recently approached me and has gone public on this, saying it's total inside job, and he would know because he's a cop and he's seen the corruption from inside the government. So it's everything is highly compartmentalized. All right, the NSA ran most of the attacks because in order to carry something out like this, you had to make sure that all lines of communications are under your control. Otherwise, the inconvenient facts might let slip, which they now are. Okay, key eyewitnesses are mysteriously disappearing just in time with their evidence being released. These people were going to be subpoenaed and called into question again. People like Barry Jennings, who mysteriously vanished at the end of last year. It's just unbelievable. But there is an ongoing cover-up that cannot be denied. I'm trying to dig up the clip, actually, right now from Fox News, where they talked about Rescue Me, how Danny Sunjata included some discussion of the PNAC agenda, basically, to have American and global military dominance. And Fox News and friends, Brian Kilmeade, the guy who said that 9/11 truthers should be put in camps, he says that this is crazy, the fact that the New York Times is giving them a play, that they're talking this up and they're respecting these conspiracy theories, which disrespect the victims. But again, I just told you, go to Ground Zero yourself on Saturdays. There are firefighters there. And, you can meet John Schroeder and others that you see on YouTube, and they will tell you what they tell you, but it's not in line with the official account, that's for sure.
Well, you say it's undeniable, but I mean, this may be splitting hairs here, but nothing is truly undeniable. And I'm not saying it 100% was not an inside job. I'm saying it is highly unlikely. I'm saying it is almost astronomically unlikely that it was. I'd never say 100% either way.
Well, we were compromised. I mean, how does incompetence account for the fact that all these police state activities and technologies are now receiving so much funding? And also the fact that they're saying, you know, okay, we haven't been attacked since then, so doesn't that mean that we're now safer? No. If you're the one who carried out the attacks, it's very easy to say no more attacks. The government was compromised, okay? It wasn't Bush or Cheney even, okay? This was 9/11 was a coup orchestrated by the Federal Reserve, okay? People like David Rockefeller, who built the World Trade Center, okay, he is the one whose idea it was to erect the Twin Towers. The Twin Towers were even nicknamed David and Nelson after the governor of New York at the time, Nelson Rockefeller, David's brother. So these are the people that you have to look for when you're talking about who actually planned 9/11. Okay, it's people like David Rockefeller, Larry Silverstein, the Blackstone Group. So these are people that we know that are out there in the public eye right now being exposed for their financial scandals. It was revealed last night that Larry Silverstein was a client of Bernie Madoff. So all these intimate connections are now being exposed. And it's undeniable that that what happened on 9/11 was a result of careful planning, and it served as a giant commercial for the military-industrial complex. Every day you hear about, because of 9/11, we need to have cameras on the streets. Because of this, the terrorists are going to get you. We need to have more troops on the streets. There's actual National Guard in New York City. Every time I go to Times Square now, 42nd Street, 34th Street, Herald Square, there's troops on the streets. America's been taken over.
Can I bring up a point? Okay, a question. Do you believe that they blew up the World Trade Center to bring in world government?
Well, that's certainly a possible end from it. It was basically for a number of reasons, to kill many birds with one stone. You know, obviously there's the fear factor to keep everybody afraid and submissive to whatever the government says, no matter how fascistic or tyrannical it is. Then you also have the fact that it was an insurance scam to build a more streamlined, efficient complex, because those buildings were actually aging monsters that would have required significantly much more money to renovate than to destroy. And then C, you've got the fact that you can launch this international war on terror out of it, basically declaring any state you want a terrorist state or a rogue state, and say they're harboring terrorists that may be linked to the people who carried out this attack, so we got to go get them. D, you have basically a suppression of dissent. You have this holy or sacred myth that's established in the consensus culture, you know, the hero firefighters, et cetera, et cetera. So if you question that, you're anti-American. So it's for a number of reasons. It gets the job done. You know, it's not just one group of people that is running the show. You have a group of groups, and these different people meet, these councils and these think tanks, and they decide on what works best for them, and this was one of these things that has been at least 20, 30 years in the making. The World Trade Center was erected, you know, 30 years ago. So they had time to prepare a cover story. But unfortunately, sometimes these things fail. You know, the truth, bits and pieces of it get out there, and when you observe it objectively, you can see that it isn't just that one way. There's a lot of missing details from the picture that even I couldn't tell you. But from the look of it, it clearly looks like we were compromised, and this new Obama government certainly isn't a change. It's a continuation of the exact same, you know, lockstep father figure, big brother type of government.
Okay, well, you addressed several points over a long period of time, so don't think because I don't address every single point back that I necessarily agree with you or disagree.
Okay.
The one point is about the world government thing. Now, when I've looked into this, I believe we will eventually have a world government, and this show, no other show, is going to stop that.
We're already under it, technically. If you look at the World Bank, we have International Monetary Fund, we already have a world court. So these institutions already exist, and they form the framework or the foundation of the world government.
Well, my main point of conflict is world government. I agree with that, not with every single thing that you're saying, but the thing is, I do agree with it, but 9/11 fitting into promoting world government to me does not make sense, because it created a great wave of patriotism. To me, it would seem you need to have the American people behind the world government. You need to convince them it's good. 9/11 convinces people to go behind the American flag, be very nationalistic, which is exactly the opposite of what globalists want. They want to disillusion patriotism. What's happening now, you could say, is for world government.
Yeah, but it's a false patriotism. It's a patriotism that encourages the war in Iraq, which has nothing to do with 9/11.
Nothing to do with world government, though. It has nothing to do with taking away.
Well, sure it does, because we can say, we can prevent something like this from happening ever again if we all unite under one rule. Just like this whole economic crisis, that's what they're now saying. That's the talking point. To prevent this economic global meltdown from happening ever again, we need to form a world currency or a world economic government. That's what they're now saying.
Well, if you look at this crisis now in financial terms, this has hurt us much worse than September 11th by far. And it's much more effective in trying to get some kind of a international system. Right after 9/11, I never heard anybody talking about a financial currency or a unified currency, but they are now. Banking institutions use banking to get their power. They don't deal with something that's not in their field of expertise, like black ops. And
Okay, but my point is, who bankrolls these things? Who finances these things? Even if they're not the ones who actually laid down the explosives, the fact that they could come up with these ideas to influence world events, and the fact that they have the money power, doesn't that make more sense than some outside random threat? By the way, even if you do believe that it was the 19 hijackers, that is still a conspiracy. It's many different people coming together.
That is exactly what I was going to bring up. You believe in conspiracy, but you pick and choose, and somehow it seems like this one separate conspiracy seems like, to me, conspiracy theorists in general, now I said I believe in some of it somewhat, but not completely, it seems that a lot of conspiracy theorists connect every conspiracy into one master conspiracy, and that no conspiracy at all can ever exist unless it is connected to the master conspiracy. Do you think it's possible that this conspiracy of 19 hijackers was completely separate of a master conspiracy, kind of like the Cosa Nostra of the Mafia? It was a conspiracy, but it was not associated with the Freemasons or the Illuminati. It was just a separate conspiracy in its own.
All right, my point is government resources were used and hijacked by the conspirators who actually executed the attacks, so that suggests some kind of compromise, inner compromise of the government. So clearly it was an infiltration on 9/11. That's, you know, even if it was part state and part outside threat, there was a compromise of the government, so they should be held accountable. My main point is, why was nobody punished? Why was everybody promoted after 9/11? There has been no accountability.
Don't condone that. I don't condone the 9/11 Commission. What I'm saying is it was not pre-planted explosives. Another issue I have to bring up about this is that you would need ground-level people planting these explosives. And I'm not sure if you think this, but many 9/11 truthers think that it was elite military people. I was in the military. I can tell you personally, ground-level, rank-and-file people in the military hate the United Nations. They absolutely hate them. And some people have told me, well, these people in the military planted explosives because it was for the greater good. And then I asked them, what is that greater good? World government. And basically to them, I'm like, get the fuck out of here. There is no way a Navy SEAL or some other elite person in the military who is like special.
No, of course not. Of course not. It was a private contracting job. Of course it wasn't the military. It wasn't the Navy SEALs or whoever. That's sheer nonsense. Of course, it was a private contracting job.
Some people think that, though. Some people think that somebody who's patriotic, flag-waving America, who loves America probably even more than me and hates the United Nations more than me, is going to blow up the World Trade Center, the ultimate act of treason, to give the UN power, which they happen to hate probably more than me. It's not going to happen. And you can't force these people, and you can't threaten special forces to go and do something like that. These people are willing to die for their country. They would definitely rather die than carry out the order to plant explosives. If you told a special forces person in the Army, you're going to plant explosives in the World Trade Center, we're going to kill you, they'll say, "Fuck you, kill me."
All right, check this out. We have New York City, New York on the line. I'm going to allow you to speak in just a minute. I'm going to play this clip from Fox News discussing the recent inclusion of Project for a New American Century agenda and with 9/11 being part of that agenda and what they had to say on Fox. Here we go. Did you hear that?
I didn't hear that.
Did you hear a piece of it at least?
It was very short.
Okay, but you did hear it.
Enemy combatant. Yo, this is Louis B. Calling live from Crown Heights in Brooklyn.
All right.
Just decided to check in, see how things are doing, any shenanigans going on. Do I have to put someone to sleep?
No, we have a caller on the line who says he's anti-Federal Reserve, but he is, a moderate. He doesn't believe 9/11 was an inside job. He thinks
okay,
it's
well,
too radical.
Well, let me ask you this. You've heard of the Gulf of Tonkin incident, right?
I have.
It didn't happen. It started the Vietnam War, killing thousands of our soldiers.
Correct, right? Can we agree on that one?
I didn't hear you. Can we agree on that though?
Yes. It proves that the government lied. I know the government lies. They right. absolutely do lie. I don't believe they would intentionally kill 3,000 of their own people. It is different sending people out to war. Psychologically, it's different in a person's mind sending people out to war and having other people kill them than actually
okay.
directly.
All right, how about this? You know the government has been testing gases on us in the New York City subway, right? And also, let me actually put it to you this way. As a Puerto Rican, as a proud Puerto Rican, the U.S. government has been pulling eugenics experiments, testing drugs on us, actually sterilizing the women between 1950 and 1970 on the island.
Yeah, Google Cecil P. Rhodes. He was paid by David Rockefeller to go examine the Puerto Ricans.
In fact, hold on, let me finish. In fact, they intentionally, at the same time as they were irradiating Israeli children, they irradiated one of our political leaders while in prison, and they refused him medical treatment. Come at me again and tell me how this government does not have the balls to kill its own citizens.
I can tell you how. And this may not be an answer you'd like to hear. Prior to the 1960s, the United States government was racist. They were racist. White people, everything, anybody else who was not white was not considered as human as white people. Therefore, the government then, a racist government then, had no problem doing experiments with Puerto Rican people, black people, or anybody else. The fact is, 9/11 killed white people, black people, Puerto Rican people, people of every single race. A racist person, a KKK person, would not think twice about killing a Puerto Rican or black person, but they would about killing another white person. Even if there were racist people who carried out 9/11, they would not kill white people with black people, everybody else. And the fact is, the government is not nearly as racist as it was back then.
Okay,
and
point taken. Let me just moderate real quick.
Okay.
Given that, that's understandable. Point taken. What about the actual activation energy required for these buildings to collapse on their own? Where do you get this energy when most of the fuel is burned off?
The fuel burned off after 10 minutes. It flashed fire a lot of other equipment in the office. You have to keep in mind these planes were going about 500 miles per hour. When planes are going that fast, it severed 15% of the columns, and it damaged several more of the columns. Now, you have to think a beam goes perfectly straight is holding weight up. If that beam is slightly bent, the amount of weight it can hold up is significantly less. The fire is heated up to about 1,800 degrees in some parts of it, at about, I believe, 1,000, 1,100 degrees. I'm not sure the exact amount. Steel loses 50% of its strength. This caused at least 100 million pounds. I'm not sure which towers, but it was 100 and 200 million pounds, respectively. They had to hold up. It damaged about 2+ floors per impact of each building. This All of these factors eventually caused the building to collapse. And if you want to bring up no steel structures have ever collapsed, actually there have been steel structures that have collapsed. There was, I think, the Kaisar toy, I'm not sure the exact name of it, but it was a toy factory in Indonesia. It was two stories. It collapsed in about a couple of hours.
Yeah, but right. The thing is...
Okay, check it out. Louis. Hold on. I have to play this clip. I'm trying to moderate the show so we have enough time to get everything.
This is what you do, Glenn. You go into your sound settings. You see where the speaker is. You're going to go into options. Click recording. That's going to take you to another window. Then you're going to click wave out mix. Make sure the levels are low enough because it's going to come out loud like a son of a bitch. And then play your clip. Make sure everyone is muted. And then play the clip. Go back into mic. Then unmute everyone.
I don't see those sound options. Are they in the chat box?
No. They're on your computer. If you're running
Xcode.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
So I have to adjust...
You have to switch to recording and then click from microphone to wave out and then play the clip. But make sure everyone is muted because it's going to come out echoing and it's going to sound really bad.
Okay, I'm in a recording control right now. What do I go to?
Yeah.
All right, let me just try this out and see how it sounds. If it doesn't sound good, I'll change it up.
One number. Thank you. Oh, man.
I can't hear anything.
Not working, dude. Oh, man. Perhaps it doesn't work with his. I hope you're not running Vista. Oh, man.
Okay.
All righty.
So, caller, John Luke ASC, what did you think of that?
I really couldn't hear it.
Yeah, no, dude, we couldn't hear anything. And, oh, wait, I know John Luke. He probably knows me as Firstborn Psycho on YouTube.
Yes, I do. I saw you were calling up Troy, and he called up, and so I saw your show on YouTube. I've never actually heard it before on the show.
Yeah, Troy likes to call in instead of actually being civil and debating. He rather call in and be a little kid and ridicule people. So I decided to take the fight to him and own his ass. So that's pretty much it.
Yeah, well, I watch a couple of the clips where he calls like the experts and stuff and shows that they don't know a lot of stuff. I mean, a lot of stuff he does is silly. But in terms of him calling up the experts and showing that they really don't know what they're talking about, in terms of that, there is some value to some of his clips. But I don't.
What about when he's called Jason Burmes and Alex Jones and they pretty much shut him down?
Okay, I tried adjusting the audio. I don't know why I didn't hear it before. I hope it recorded properly.
No, I did not. If I didn't hear it, then it didn't record.
So you didn't hear anything or you heard faint noise?
I heard nothing.
Alex Jones, the big problem I have with him is that I think he is I think he's like a con man.
Do you hear that?
No.
I'm playing the clip.
No, all right, dude. Alright, no, it's not gonna work.
Is there a mode that I set it to so what I hear that it plays?
Yeah, no. No, there isn't a mode. It should be able to send out through the voiceover IP what you play through your sound card. If you switch to recording on your Microsoft on the
All right, I tried playing it again with both of you muted. Did you hear any of that?
No.
Okay, so...
Worst comes to worst, when we do another show, I'll, you know, if I'm not working at the point, at the time, I'll do it for you.
I don't understand. I did everything you told me to do. I went to sound options and I fixed everything.
Huh. Okay, did you check the, I mean, the, there's a box on the bottom, it should be checked.
Play control? Mute?
No. You have to go into options, then properties, I'm sorry, properties.
Okay, I'm in properties.
You see, there should be recording.
Yes, I clicked that.
Okay, you should have, there should be... CD, mic, wave out mix, and mono, or mono wave out, click wave out.
I don't see wave out. I see MIDI, analog mix, CD digital, what you hear, microphone, and wave MP3.
Oh, what you hear.
Okay.
Then
I
play.
Just, and mute all the other ones, or?
Yes, mute me and John.
Okay. Okay, John, you're going to have to type so I know that you can hear this clip. I'm trying to get this to work. All right, I played a little bit. Did you hear any of that?
No. Damn.
What the fuck?
I don't know. I'm probably going to have to take a look at your computer.
So what did he say? I mean, I'll take your word for it that he said whatever you said he said or whatever happened on the clip.
No, never mind. You know what? We're just going to do a redo of this show.
Don't give up, dude. Come on. Just show your tool it. You could do it. Next show we'll do like the newspapers do. Whenever they make a mistake, be like, you know, this is what happened. This is what we meant to play. Da 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 da.
Well, he compares 9/11 truthers to Mark David Chapman and said, well, they were passionate about the Beatles, but look what he ended up doing. So he's basically saying that we're motivated by all the wrong reasons, and that's why we believe in these conspiracy theories.
Well, there are fringe aspects of the movement. I've noticed that there are ultra-conservatives in the movement, there are ultra-liberals, and there are people who are undesirable in the movement. I talked to communists who are 9/11 truthers. I've talked to from the Middle East, State America, who are 9/11 truthers. I'm not saying you're one of those people, but they are out there.
The thing is, I guess, 9/11 truth does speak to a lot of people. I mean, I don't know. But, I can't agree with no damn communism. I read the Communist Manifesto. Ain't no damn way I'm freaking giving up my liberty for security.
I don't know if you've heard of Naomi Klein. At one point, my channel was primarily to just, discredit 9/11 truth, but now it's just to discredit Naomi Klein. She's a far-left socialist prick, is what I basically think she is. But there are quite a few 9/11 truthers out there who do like her, and they're far-left socialists.
Well, I mean, look, I'm just saying, me, as far as I am, Louis B., I do not support socialism, Marxism, any of those things that say that I have to give up everything for the good of the fatherland. I mean, look, I don't have no problem dying for my country when it's a real threat to my security, meaning someone's trying to invade my shores. Hell, I've said this on this show many times. The moment I see blue UN helmets marching down my block, I take that as an act of war, and I'm going. Whether I survive the first attack, that's up for question.
I'll tell you right now, I see a blue helmet, whether he's an American in a blue helmet or not, coming into my house or my yard, I'm shooting him.
Exactly.
Shooting him
I mean, at least me and you, I mean, look.
I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon, though, but.
Yeah, I mean, probably Troy is going to probably hear this, and he's probably going to call you a kook for saying that, but, but at least we have that agreement,
Well, probably I guess this will have to be a clipless show. I want to switch gears here now, because we are running out of time.
How long you doing?
I scheduled it for 2 hours, but I might have to cut it a little bit short.
Oh, okay, no problem, sweetie.
Well, I just sent you a clip of Naomi Klein so you could see the kind of person she is. And there was like a series about this guy channel who has similar views to me and also can't stand her. I'm a fan of Milton Friedman. He was a free market, a libertarian economist, and I really like his views. He doesn't quite go as free market as Ron Paul, but he's very free market, and some people consider him fringe at his time. But I really like his views. He was the first mainstream person, if you could even call him that, to say that the Fed caused the Great Depression. And he was very into abolishing that system of government. He didn't have the same exact idea as Ron Paul did. He didn't approve of a gold standard. He approved of keeping a paper currency, but abolishing the Fed and having the money system grow only with the economy, so you had neither inflation nor deflation, and prices stayed stable over a long period.
I don't see how a fiat currency system can even work if it's done through Congress.
It can't.
I mean, It can't. I mean, look, seriously, if you want minimal government, I mean, having a money backed by commodities will just self-adjust itself. So you don't need people just saying, arguing in the House and the Senate about the economy when you have money that's backed by commodities. At this point, yeah, this might sound dumb, but at this point, having our money backed by, like, food and stuff will probably be a better move right now.
Well, that's what it would be. It would be a system based on not gold. It would be backed on several different commodities, and you would only be able to add money into the system to accommodate the growth of the economy, and
yeah.
no matter what. That is the kind of system I like. People say that gold, gold, it has an intrinsic value. But if gold is used as money, it's not valuable because of the value of gold. It's valuable because it's money. If you took a rare mineral that is worthless, but you decided to monetize it and make it the only thing valuable as money, that mineral would skyrocket in value simply because it's being demanded as money and nothing else. You could use granite as money. If granite was rare, have a granite standard.
All right, well, since we're talking about the economy, this is a perfect shift into what I wanted to talk about. I'm going to mute the both of you real quick so I can transition into the next hour, and then you guys can come back on in about eight minutes. All right, we have no other people in the chat room besides Louis B. and John Luke, so I am going to continue here without firing out the number. I'm sorry, what can I say? I screwed up a little bit on the hosting there. But we will have clips back for you when Louis is back in the host seat. Personally, one of my favorite solutions... No, just stay on the line. Oh, okay. Never mind. Yeah, in about 10 minutes. Okay. What I wanted to talk about is my favorite solution. It's one step. It's not the solution, but it's a step in the right direction to solving the economic crisis. I think we need to legalize and tax hemp and cannabis. It's not marijuana. Marijuana is a made-up name that has been peddled to discredit this healing plant that's so useful in so many different ways. And, just think of what kind of society we would have. It wouldn't necessarily increase the usage of pot if we legalized it, but it would certainly increase demand, and we could also get... better quality cannabis grown in federal laboratories, you know, with scientific research and crafting. You know, what a marvelous civilization we could build if we were just more in tune with entheogens as we once were. Psychedelic plants have always been used throughout history by humanity to transform consciousness and, by extension, reality. The material world. So, you know, if you think about it, almost everything we do is inspired by drugs. If you think about it, all art and music really is, I mean, not all of it, but the good ones come from some sort of stimulated experience that the artist went through. Most likely while they were drunk or, intoxicated or in some other intoxicated state. So the reason I bring this up is because more and more it seems that Obama administration will decriminalize marijuana or maybe legalize it. If it was smart enough, it would tax it and generate enormous revenue for the federal government. And also cure a lot of problems, social problems, along with the economic problems. Decriminalizing or legalizing, I'm actually in favor of legalization, I don't know why the federal government wouldn't be. I mean, frankly, they need to legalize weed because so much money is wasted on enforcement. We prosecute people for simple possession, not even distribution or growing or using. It's just possession, not even smoking it. And furthermore, who is the government, the state, to tell us what we can and cannot do, what we can or cannot put inside of our bodies? Meanwhile, vaccinations are compulsory, and if you don't do that, you can't get into school. But I want to read this article to you out of the Metro, as I'm sure you've no doubt heard by now. Olympic gold medalist and swimmer Michael Phelps, American athlete, has been caught smoking marijuana. And this picture of him on the internet with a bong has ruined his image, because in America, it's a virtue to be busy and occupied. And marijuana smokers are seen as lazy, unproductive dregs of society. USA Swimming cuts off Phelps for 3 months. And so the official statement that is being put out: we decided to send a strong message to Michael because he disappointed so many people, particularly hundreds of thousands of kids who look up to him as a role model and a hero. Well, as a matter of fact, what Michael Phelps did by apologizing was cowardly. He could have used this moment to heroically pose as a savior for pot activists, but he didn't. He backed off because he is a corporate shill, owned, bought, and paid for by the Olympics and all the other corporations that sponsor the Olympics. So here we have this mainstream figure who can say, look, I smoke pot, but I'm still successful, and I can still function as a healthy member of society. But no, Michael Phelps said, I'm sorry, but he still got the boot. I wonder how much pot he's going to have to smoke to make up for this one, because this blunder has put him out for 3 months, so I wonder what he's going to be doing in the interim. Michael Phelps has been suspended from competition for 3 months by USA Swimming, the latest fallout from a photo that showed the Olympic great inhaling from a marijuana pipe. By the way, it's not a marijuana pipe. It is sold as for use with tobacco. Okay? And you can smoke a lot of other things in there besides marijuana. You could smoke tobacco out of a bong. You can smoke Salvia divinorum, which is a mint, a hallucinogenic mint. You could smoke PCP out of a bong. Shit. You can smoke crack out of a bong. So it's not a marijuana pipe. It's a water pipe. The sport's national governing body also cut off its financial support to Michael Phelps for the same three-month period. So he's not receiving any more sponsorship. See, what he really should have done is, you know, stuck this one out and ride the wave. He should have rode the wave of success and said, look, I'm a marijuana smoker, but I'm also an Olympic athlete. Deal with it. But he didn't do that, and now he's suspended anyway. So he comes off looking even worse than he started out with. He should have, you know, stood firm, stood tall, held his head high, and still he still would have been suspended, but it would have been graceful. And yes, marijuana is a performance-enhancing drug. It was given to slaves of yore, so they could row on boats in a trance, mindlessly, in Rome, in Sumer, you name it. It's a muscle relaxant. It also puts you in a focused trance. It activates your frontal lobe, your cerebral cortex. And then I want to read a little bit of this article before I let the guest back on, and then I might have to I'm going to have to end the show at 6:30 because I don't feel like going on for another hour. But listen to this. The headline. What is real today? So, what is real today? Television and music are not always a happy marriage. Bruce Springsteen was apparently playing air guitar at the Super Bowl, making those Guitar Hero faces to pre-recorded music. By most accounts, Bruce put on a great performance, even though he wasn't actually giving one. Come on, it was a given, says Hank Neuberger, who controls the audio for the Grammy Awards telecast. Television and music, says Neuberger, are not always a happy marriage. It's not hard to present music of the highest quality, and you want the audience to hear the artist at the optimal level. So it's unfair and inaccurate to lump The Boss and Jennifer Hudson in with Milli Vanilli, who never sang. But what about Ashley Simpson? What about, you know, what about that? The Super Bowl has been doing that for years with virtually all bands. That's what it says. So they've been doing this for quite some time. You know, just like the Chinese Olympics. The little girl who was going to sing the national anthem was too ugly to perform, so they got somebody prettier, but they still kept her voice, the original. So she had a nice singing voice, but she was too ugly to make the cut. So they pulled her image, and they put somebody prettier in her place. It's just unbelievable. What is real today? So I'm going to let you back on, and then I'm going to try to finish up here. All right, you are unmuted.
Okay, about the China thing, as I wrote in the comments, it was disgraceful the way they didn't let the original song sing it. So...
Okay, my headphones died, so I had to turn my speakers on. I can hear you now.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
I'm hearing you.
Oh, we got Nate from Rhode Island. Let me put him on the call.
Okay.
Yeah, Nate from Rhode Island, if you want to join the call... Please dial in. It's at the bottom of your screen, 724-444-7444. Call ID 23980 and then pound. And then 1 and pound is your PIN. But yeah, we're talking about basically all these weird things going on in society. It's like everything is going crazy everywhere. And it's a culture of eugenics and dysgenics. You know, whether or not we want to admit it, there are people that we've never met who are pushing our buttons, and they're more than happy to foist these illusions upon us.
Well, what I personally think is a culture of collectivism is what's actually happening right now. And I don't think it's a conspiracy. I mean, you do have to... happens and will profit from it. I guess you can call them profiteers or opportunists. But there is a background and environment which allows these people to get power, like Hitler, for example. Hitler would have never been able to get power in Germany if there was not a financial crisis in Germany in the first place and if World War I had not happened. The point is, situations and crises allow certain people to come into power and do bad things. So you do have individuals, and a lot of the individuals that the conspiracy side mentions are the Rockefellers and Rothschilds. But the thing is, they had an environment which allowed them to get into those positions of power. If we didn't have that environment in the first place, they would have never gotten that power. It's not that they're all powerful. It's that they do have power, indeed. But it's a combination of nature and somewhat design. It's not all design. It's not where, like, if the Rockefellers and Rothschilds, if they, like, didn't exist for some reason, there would be, like, a utopian world. And that's just, it's just not true.
Well, check this out. This is also on a kind of a different note. But the point I want to make here by reading these next two news and brief articles is the fact that the mainstream media, newspapers, and even the television news that we now see every day, the way things are advancing, the way things are accelerating, they're getting crazier and more complicated, you know, every day. It seems that the mainstream press is now almost parodying itself. There's a line that exists between fantasy and reality, and I think that we're now blurring that line to the point where reading the newspaper, you don't know if you're reading a satirical or you're reading the actual real news. And this is exemplified perfectly by these two articles, which stand side by side on page 8 of the Metro. I'm still looking at the same newspaper. And it's to these two articles proposing the perfect job for two different personas that we are now very familiar with, President Bush, former president, and Osama bin Laden. So let me read these two articles to you, and I want you to pick out the stunning similarities in theme and content, but also I want you to get your response and gauge your reaction to what it's actually saying, and you know, the point I made earlier about, is this a joke or is this actually considered newsworthy? All right, so here's the first one. News in brief in tourism. That's not terrorism, that's tourism. The perfect job for bin Laden. An Australian dream job posted on a Queensland tourism site. $175,000 a year for lazy surf-themed vacation on the Great Barrier Reef. Received thousands of applications, but one in particular stood out. Famed terrorist Osama bin Laden. A prank video was submitted of the Al-Qaeda leader, lauded with his, quote, familiarity with sandy areas, end quote, and experience with large-scale event coordination, in subtitles over an actual video of the terrorist. And then we have this little gem insulting our intelligence. Hardware hello from Bush. Former President George W. Bush has been offered a new job, a new prestigious job, as a greeter for a Texas hardware store. In a public offer in the Dallas Morning News, Elliott's Hardware President and CEO Kyle Walters wrote, "We are confident that your people skills developed through years of meeting with foreign dignitaries would make you an excellent candidate for the position. We are offering the position to Mr. Bush in all sincerity," the CEO said. "We think it would be a great fit for him." Bush has not yet responded. Do you see how the journalists... Do you see how the collective society, the consensus culture, do you see how they're laughing at you? Issues of no concern are paraded around as newsworthy. Meanwhile, you know, humanity is being genocided on an industrial scale.
Well, may I say something about this? Now, I guess I am unofficially a part of the 9/11 debunking thing, but for what I'm about to say, I would be considered fringe by them. The American media are liars, and they are revolutionaries, basically. They are fanatics, and they want a far-left socialist system, and they ultimately want a world system of control. Now, a lot of people, I'm not saying you, but a lot of people on your side, the 9/11 Truth side, think that the media is corporate, so it's a corporate-driven media, and I don't see it that way. I see that our political fanatics. They are political fanatics and revolutionaries, and they want significant change in our system and way of life. And they want it to the point where they would rather go out of business than to change their view. And my example of that is the New York Times. Their profit has been at 80%, and it's because of their biased reporting, and people are starting to catch on to them, and yet they will not change it. They would rather go out of business than give up their political views. And unlike people like the Alex Jones people who think they're purely evil, and I believe they are, they're not good people, but in their minds, they twisted around where their political ideology is what is best for everybody, and they think they know better than everybody else. They think they're smarter and better than everybody else, and that people and that the general population are children, and that those and that the children of the world, which are you and me and everybody else, needs to be controlled all the time because it is for your better. That is what they believe.
Yes, and if you really think about it, the point that you're making, I'll just inject this as a corollary. You know, how can one size fit all? Like you said, they're trying to disseminate an ideology that everyone can agree on. How then can it be possible to have a world government if it's impossible to really unite all these different races and disparate social and religious and political ideas? How is it possible to unite us all? How is one size fit all? You know, the world government idea is really implausible.
It is, exactly. I'm surprised that you said that because I've looked at this stuff, and when I first started to look into it, I was like, maybe this stuff is going to happen soon. I really see the elite of the world do not agree on anything, and the fact is, to have a single planet for world government, they need to have a common consensus, and they all want it, and that's the only consensus they have, but they don't have a consensus of how they're going to get it. Another reason why I don't think 9/11 was an inside job, because if it was a world conspiracy, these people would all need to have a consensus, and 9/11 would need to be a catalyst in one specific driven plan, and they do not have one plan. I have read UN documents about world governments and CFR documents about world government. It's very open. It's not secret anymore. But the thing is, every individual person who wants world government, they don't all agree on how they want it. The UN, I've read a document where they say everybody should have their own political system, but it should be a United Nations army. I've seen ones where they want a unified currency, but not necessarily a unified army. And there are so many different plans with that. I don't even consider it a conspiracy because they're not even it's not a unified plan. It's a political idea is what it is. It's a very powerful political idea, but nevertheless, it's neither conspiracy nor theory. It's not a theory. It's happening. It's not a conspiracy because it's not secret. You can Google foreign affairs, type in world government on the CFR's website, and they'll come up with a whole bunch of documents by people openly saying we want world government. The New World Order George Bush talked about actually means world government, but they also say it may not even be physically possible today. That's what they say. Okay, I'm done.
Well, we have a couple more people in the chat. If you want to call in, Nate from Rhode Island and Gogalito, see you both in the chat. I will unmute you. All you have to do is call the number at the bottom of your screen, and you can join in the conversation, 724-444-7444. And the rest of the information is also there at the bottom of the screen. Yeah, we have a few minutes left here. I'm going to go eat dinner and curse at my television. I guess I'll just close the newspaper and just give you a heartfelt outro here. Where do I start? I guess I was thinking. I'll start with what I did today. I was thinking about these things. You know, what am I going to talk about on tonight's show? It kind of came together at the last minute. We would have had a little bit more interactivity and a little bit more content for you if I wasn't running it, because I'm new to this. Louis B will be back tomorrow evening, as well as Sunday, and you can catch us next Friday also. But I was thinking about this morning, what am I going to talk about? And I was actually doing my taxes this morning. I went to the IRS to have them, file my W-2 form so I can get my tax return. And Nate from Rhode Island, I'll put you through in just a second. It's really unbelievable that, you know, we live our daily lives out in this way, on autopilot, just never questioning, never thinking about what it is that's really at the core of our human experience. We just fritter our lives away, waiting for the next Black Friday or whatever, shopping day, Christmas, Valentine's Day, all these corporate-sponsored holidays, which are they're not there to help us. They're there to fill the pockets of few people who continue to get wealthier and wealthier while we live in comparably, we live in squalor compared to a lot of world leaders and whoever. And that's why I really don't understand why a lot of people are aligning themselves with Obama, because whether you like him because of his race or his culture, he is a rich person, and so he could care less about most of the people out there who are suffering from the effects of this New World Order system.
The man has mansions in Chicago. One owned by his indicted friend Tony Rezko. So, and it's kind of funny I call in while you're talking about Obama, because I'm in Crown Heights right now. And it's like Obama Palooza in this fucking neighborhood. they have posters of this man like he was fucking Lenin.
Hold on a second. Rhode Island Nate, you're unmuted. Go ahead.
Yeah. Hey, I was just calling in. My first time catching the show. I'm just listening in. But what's up?
Yeah, please check out our blog, crotchshotradio.com, where we try to measure the temperature of the zeitgeist by deciphering the symbolism, be it intentional or coincidental, in our pop culture, and we try to analyze what's going on in the present, and try to form a future map of the future, so we can make predictions and stop this New World Order.
By any chance, Nate, are you a We Are Changer, by any chance?
Yeah, Louie, right? Yeah.
Hey,
right.
Hey!
Hey, what's up, man? Yeah,
how you
right.
doing?
I thought I recognized your voice. Right. Yeah,
yes.
Man.
Yeah, so, Nate, we're about to close out the show here, but we've had two guests on, primarily my co-host, Louis B., who is unable to host the show today because of financial reasons. He's out there working, hustling. And also we had John Luke ASC, who's been on the line from Connecticut. We've just been basically bouncing back and forth between, government conspiracies, financial turmoil, all sorts of things. We're recently talking about Michael Phelps, how he's being paraded around as the poster boy for what not to do when you have a successful career, even though I think it was, it could have been heroic if he had taken it as such, but he was a wimp, and he instead decided to apologize for his recreational use of marijuana.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
What do I think about that? Well, I mean, I don't know what to say. I mean, it's pretty ridiculous. The guy is an Olympic swimmer, right? He can get high if he wants to. I don't really understand where that's even something for all of us to talk about. Yeah, marijuana should be legal.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't even know.
I mean,
what's
the big deal? President Obama smoked marijuana, and look where it's gotten him.
It's a debate that's been had a million times. There really is no debate. There's hundreds, if not thousands, of medicinal purposes, and it's harmless for the most part, unless you just become a complete pothead and don't get anything done that you set out to do. But
this guy could swim really fast. So you know what? The last Summer of Olympics, we were a little bit low on the gold medals, right? You know what? Next Olympics, everyone's smoking pot. That's it. You know what? Take a puff pass. Look, Marion Jones, you can't take steroids, but here's some pot. Here you go. Now run a little faster.
There you go.
Yeah, green medals instead of gold medals.
Exactly.
Yep.
This is the gold medal for having the most bitchin' hydroponic garden ever.
Yeah, right. Yeah, put gardening in the Olympics. There you go.
Smoke weed every day.
Yes.
Too bad
I don't have my too bad you don't have my soundboard.
That's why I substituted with my own voice.
I smoked two joints before I smoked two joints, then I smoked some more.
So you guys do the show, what are the usual hours right now?
Usually 7 to 10 on Friday, Saturday, Sundays, but today we're doing a special episode because we weren't even going to have a show, but because of schedule conflicts, we had to do it earlier.
So Saturdays on... Saturday I usually do my music show. I'm deciding whether to keep doing them because of technology reasons. I can't I can't play the music clearly, but usually I'm going to have a show tomorrow from 7 to 10. Sundays, I don't know what the fuck I'm going to be talking about this Sunday, but I'm pretty sure it's going to be something political.
What the hell?
So, it's, what the hell is that?
I don't know.
Hey, I'm about to leave the conference. I just wanted to say I appreciate the hospitality and you allowing me on your show, even though I have a dissenting point of view. I have been on a couple of other conferences and have not been hospitable to me. They were also 9/11 truthers, but they decided to cut me off because they did not agree with my point of view, and you have not done that to me, so I appreciate that.
Oh, yeah. Check out our blog at crotchshotradio.com, where you could, in addition to listening to past episodes of the show, as well as sound bites and other commercials and stuff we got uploaded on TalkShoe, please read our blog. We regularly post videos of the latest news and even some original articles up there, so check it out.
Okay.
All right, cool. All right. Bada-bing. And feel free to subscribe. Tell your friends to subscribe. Don't care if they're not 9/11 truthers, because you know what? I don't always talk about 9/11 truth. You know, sometimes it's going to be like, good dick joke,
Yeah, there's a whole lot to talk about. Anyway.
Let's get retarded in here.
Well, I'll try to catch the show Sunday, so if you're going to be on Sunday night, I don't have to work that night, so I'll try to join in. Maybe bring some tales from Rhode Island for you guys.
All right, cool.
Hold on one second.
Anyway, you're ending the show now, Glenn? Enemy, come back.
Yeah, I'm ending the show right now. Thank you for listening to the Crotch Shot Radio Show. This has been Enemy Combatant subbing in for Louis B. Please check out the blog, crotchshotradioshow.com.
Yeah, and also, did you stop recording? Shit.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah, anyways, for Crush Out Radio Show listeners, we have a special from Blockbuster Total Access, over $80,000 titles. For Crush Out Radio Show listeners exclusively, get half off your first month subscription if you go to crushoutradio.com, click the link. We also got links to iTunes and buy.com. So feel free, help us out. Also, on the AdSense, we have some AdSense. Please click the links. Tell your friends to click the links. Feel free to subscribe. Anyways, this has been a Crush Hour Radio Show. I've been Louis B. saying, fuck your mothers.
All right.